Hey guys, we want to acknowledge the beautiful Patreon supporters of this lovely Solo, A Star Wars Story spoiler app. Guess what, guys? Get a red carpet look for Blue Collar Price. Paparazzi Julie is jewelry, or Julie, is just five. Hi, I'm Paparazzi Julie. Oh, it was just $5 per piece. Go to paparazziaccessories.com/89078/89078. The number is very important. And support Nadra Connor. They sent us a bunch of their jewelry. So if you buy a Comedy Film Nerds product, we're going to throw in some jewelry.
Yep. You get an extra bonus.
How
look at that.
A little taste. Little taste. Little Patreon taste. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny Rulon.
You know, look good while you're watching earbuds.
You know what I mean? Wear a Han Solo shirt and have a really nice necklace.
Yeah, do it.
It brings out your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Paparazzi Julie. and her boyfriend, Johnny Rulon.
They make a great team.
All our Patreon supporters have really fun names.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Johnny Rulon is promoting his novel titled Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic, and it is available on Amazon in both digital form and hard copy. It is an experimental, stream-of-consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the nurse Calliope and her immortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com. Johnny Rulon. And then, of course...
Our favorite charity.
This is so cool. You're supporting performing arts. I'll do a charity voice. The Audacity Performing Arts Project produces after-school performing arts projects in poor, underfunded, and the lowest performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury. Please visit us at cfn.audacityperformingarts.org. Support the Patreon, guys. $50 a month. You get ad reads like this on every single episode. Thank you.
Suck it.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Please be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Solo spoiler you're not going to believe this. Episode 81. I wrote it down.
Oh, wow. Because as Aaron said, we're ready to go. I was like, I don't know what number this
no,
is.
No. I was prepared.
Oh,
this is surprise.
Wow.
81.
A third of the way to spoiler rep 243.
We're almost there. Should only take us another decade. Now, we got into... We didn't do a lot of solo talk with Ari Stidham.
Our guest just made a face like, wow, I didn't know Graham was a math nerd.
Yeah.
A little bit of disdain in his face, a little bit of amazement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting the way he mixed those two.
Yeah. I wish we had him in an extreme close-up because it was such great like facial acting.
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know I'd be hanging at the lunch table with the dweebs.
Oh, hey, math nerd. Mm. Give me your lunch.
So let's introduce our guest.
Been on the show numerous times. Many, many wonderful things. Those horrible stuff.
Many wonderful things.
He does. Happy returns.
Yes.
Salutations and greetings to our guest.
He's organized four charities.
Oh, yes.
Kevin Avery, wow, my voice is cracking. It's all Kevin Avery.
Oh, I like... No, I like the high-pitched cracking.
Kevin Avery,
everybody. Hey, guys. How's it going? Good to see you.
Good.
Good to have you back, talking some Star Wars.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd take time away from my multiple charities.
You're doing good stuff.
Talk about this movie, this film. I'm very excited.
The thing I love about...
Because you're working on a show and you're busy, but you I period once a year or so we get an email from Kevin going I need to come talk about this. When is this?
Yeah, it's like we've had like we have a child that's misbehaved and we need to have this. This is nuts. This can't stay.
A child that's misbehaved.
He's gone too far.
Ron Howard is out of control, and we need to have a discussion. We need to go to the school.
I've been saying it for years.
All right, so before we get into it, this is a spoiler app for anyone that's ever joining us for the very first time. We have to make this statement. We will talk about everything that is in the movie, including the ending. So if you have not seen Solo or something, blah, blah, a Star Wars story, we're going to reveal the endings, key elements. So make pause, hit pause, go watch the movie and come
back. And I have to say, I think it's very important that I repeat that this is the spoiler ep, episode 81.
81.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Almost to 243? I don't know.
A third of the way to 243.
Yeah. Just really quickly, before we get into this, can I bring something up about in regards to the last time I saw you?
Okay, I feel like I'm in trouble, but this is...
I don't know. It depends on how you look at it.
So that's yes.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Well, no, you're not. Actually, I was the one who got in trouble. Because the last time I saw you was at the FNX.
The rap party,
rap party. Mm-hmm. Great time. And it was the first time I got to see all the, you know, you showed sort of a thing of all the comedians, right?
Yeah,
compilation
we did.
Compilation of all the comics.
Yeah, 49 comics.
And I said that really articulately. The thing of all the comedians. You showed it. But,
montage?
Yeah. Thank you. but you showed a clip of mine. Where I talked about, yeah, that's right. Take that long, deep sigh. Where I talked about boy bands versus singing groups and the difference. Singing groups being like New Edition and the Jackson 5 and En Vogue and Supremes, all blah, 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 blah. And boy bands being New Kids on the Block, NSYNC, Backstreet, 98 Degrees, what have you. A lot of fun was had. I'm waiting in the corner afterwards for a friend. I'm by myself, minding my business. Guy comes strolling up to me aggressively, with confidence. And he says, you the guy that did the boy band routine? And I go, yeah. Just dryly, yeah. And he doesn't say anything. He just keeps moving towards me. And then it just sinks in that I'm looking at Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block, and I just buckled over in laughter. Like, it was the most... Never been a fan of New Kids, but I was so delighted and charmed by this guy. And he's a handsome fellow, by the way.
So Joey McIntyre, who's been on the show...
His charm goes many different directions.
He's a very charming man. He's a very good friend of mine. And... I got to tell you, he's a really good friend of mine. And when you did that joke, I was like, man, this is a funny, it was a funny joke. And okay. I made such a point of this series of like, you know, this is a stand-up comedy series. I don't know how many have ever been directed by an actual comic. So yeah. I was like, I wasn't going to do all the things that happens to us as comics on some stand-up shows where the suits come in and edit and screw stuff around. Yeah. So I was like, God, but I wrestled with it because I'm like, it's a funny joke. And... Because everybody did about 15-minute sets, and I would cut it down to about 10 minutes or so. So I had to cut stuff. And Kevin, your style, this isn't a bad thing, but you have a long story style. So I didn't want to like cut up a joke and ruin it.
Just say it. I'm long-winded, guys.
He's a babbly. Yes. He's a yapper.
I'm a little chatty.
No, but I mean, there's like the comics that just did one-liners, it was easy to just pull joke. And I didn't want to do that thing that I've heard so many comics complain about of, God, they took my bit about this.
Yeah.
It's a 3-minute bit. They cut it up to 47 seconds. It makes no sense now. So I was always very much like, we're either keeping the whole chunk of this or we're pulling it. Yeah. And so it was like, there was a whole bit you had about going to New York, and then there was all this boy band stuff that fed in really nicely to then you being in a group. It was just very long, well-connected, well-written piece, and I just didn't want to mess with it. But I was like, God, Joey McIntyre is my really good friend. I don't want him to be like, hey, Graham, you're having your buddies slam me on your show? Like, and then I was like, you know, he's got a pretty good, you know, he does this reality TV show where he kind of pokes fun at himself. And, you know, He's heard the boy band jokes for his whole.
I don't think he minds.
I don't think he minds.
Total good sport about it. Totally it was good sport. Really fun to meet him, and
he even had a sitcom for a while, a little while too.
Yeah, and the thing, but I got to tell you, because what I did is I just went to one of the editors and I said, "Hey, for the wrap party, can you just take?" There was 49 comics in the show. What can you just pull like a minute from each comic roughly? And so everybody gets shown, everyone who comes. And so the whole series, the whole show was like 50 some minutes. Like, I don't want people watching a 3 hour thing. Yeah. I want people to come, have drinks, have a great time. He goes, yeah, great. And I didn't give him much direction after that, cause he was the DP. So he knew all the footage. And I said, just pick a quick little thing from each comic, do it in order of the series. And we need it done before the screening date. So when you started, that joke came on, I had just buzzed through it to just make sure the whole series was, the whole thing was okay. But I didn't sit and watch the whole thing like I did the whole series. I watched every episode probably 7 or 8 times. Mm-hmm. And that comes out and you start doing the boy band thing. And I was like, oh God, cause literally Joey just, he texted me late in the afternoon. Hey buddy, he was so supportive. He's such a good friend. And I was like, oh no, oh no. I felt like, he's going to be mad at me. And I should have said something to the editor and all this stuff. And then it was so great to hear that he was like fun with you.
No, he was super. Yeah, it was just the sort of the capper on already a very fun night. Yeah. I was like, it's so weird to do a bit on stage and then it sort of comes to life in front of you. Like, that's what it was like. I felt like I invoked Joey McIntyre. Like, you know, it was just very strange and surreal. And
if you say his name 3 times on stage, he appears.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So.
He's like the boy band Candyman.
The boy band Candyman. Wow. All right.
Joey Mac, Joey Mac, Joey Mac. He's
a girl. Wow, we've just given him a new name for his solo career.
Right.
Hey everybody, it's Joey McIntyre, the boy band Candyman.
Oh, God, that was a fun
anyway,
night.
So I just wanted to bring that up and, you know.
All right, let's get into Solo. Right. Now, we already talked about it, but we got a lot more to go into now that it's the spoiler app. But I think we should let Kevin start.
Kevin, what did you think about it?
Well, I've seen this movie twice.
Really?
I really enjoyed it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But there were little things in the movie that I was like, I don't, well, okay, but it didn't pull me out of the movie. I had little tiny problems here and there. And then I went and saw it a second time. I weirdly did not enjoy it as much. Now, I don't
know
if that's because I was really tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I also ate a hot dog at the theater, which was not...
Movie theater hot dog!
I didn't have dinner. And I was like,
I hate
just...
that. That's when I'm like sitting there eating like a pretzel going, oh, this is the worst. What am I doing?
Back in the day,
it could be a factor.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
So the second showing got hot dogged.
The second.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It got dogged hot, my man.
Or the second showing just showed you more of a spotlight on all the problems of the film.
Yeah. And, you know, I think watching it, I'm like, I don't think it was the story that they told was flawed, but I thought I might have told this differently is all. But I had so much fun the first time I saw it. I really did enjoy it the first time. I mean, it wasn't like this is my favorite of all that. I remember coming out going, I'm not sure where I put this. I think I actually liked it more than The Last Jedi.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
The Last Jedi I have bigger issues with. I really like The Last Jedi. I like them all, but I...
How would you compare this to Rogue One?
That's what I was trying to... I was like, is this better than Rogue One? And I think I think Rogue One is better.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll head home now. Thanks a lot, guys. It's been great being on the podcast.
There's no dispute there.
You know what? Oh, but this is what I realized, the big difference between this movie and Rogue One is that there was just more to it. When you came away from that movie, and how it connected to the world of Star Wars. And there was something very kind of cool and exciting about the fact that it's literally this movie takes place or it ends moments before the other one. And that was kind of a cool, fun... Like, if you're going to do these, do some shit like that where, right. it, you know, we're literally seeing him hand off the plans and let you right. know, like, that was so much fun and sort of... And it was a question we all had.
And yeah. the weird twist that was amazing and unexpected is like, oh, really getting to know and really liking all these new characters. Mm-hmm. And then they're literally all dying at
yeah.
the end.
Yeah. And I didn't love those characters that much. The most interesting character I thought was, what's his face? The droid. I'm forgetting the guy's name now. But the Imperial droid who's
there. Right.
I thought the characters were fine, but there was just something about that movie being a bigger part of the thing. And with Solo, I watched it, and the second time I was like, I give less of a shit about this because it didn't feel as connected. It was fun to see Lando, and it was fun to watch yeah. Chewie, and I really liked, I'm going to butcher the actor's name. So
yeah, Woody Harrelson.
Well, I love it.
It's pronounced Woody.
It's not Woody.
Would I?
Yeah. Woodland Harrison, always great.
I believe it's Woodford.
Yeah. Thank you. But no, I mean, I really liked him, and I liked all the actors, and I really enjoyed everyone's performance. Alden.
Yeah.
Enric. Basinger. Bassinger?
Yeah.
Sorry, shout out to Family Guy. I enjoyed these guys, and you know, but there were just little things in it that I was like, explain this. Why is this happening? Why, in for instance, one of my favorite scenes is in the beginning when Han and Kira are trying to escape. They're in the... Right,
from the centipede.
They're running from the centipede. I'm okay with that, and I'm also like with that at the centipede mob boss that pops up out of the water. I thought,
yeah, that doesn't like sunlight.
Points for innovation, but that sunlight thing seemed to just, where'd that come from? I would have,
yeah. I know that
would have been more.
And that was quite a throw from a rock too.
Yeah, and it's like if the sun is that critical to, like, that could kill you that heavy, I would feel
you
like
wouldn't have a giant bay window next to your pool.
Just that's just like single pane, just one
Look,
kid with
style,
an
okay.
with an okay arm can just sort of like clack, you're dead.
Well, I just I didn't know enough about who these people were and what the it was like Oliver Twist sort of a thing going on, and I was like, what is this? And why? There was nothing that really seemed. You remember when you went to Jabba's Palace? Well, we didn't go to Jabba's Palace, but Jabba's Palace, when you saw it for the first time in Return of the Jedi, and there was something kind of cool and ominous about it, partially because we had all heard about Jabba the Hutt and Han Solo, you
right.
know. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of missing from this environment. It was just, and I know it's early in the movie, they just got to get it moving, but it was just sort of him hiding in the shadows and oh, we're going to get off this I don't know. There were things about it that were not as fulfilling, you know. So when we get to that scene in the station where they're trying to leave and get a ship and get out, you know, that's one of my favorite movies or moments in the movie. It's one of the most tense moments. But I was watching the thing, like, why are they shoving these people around? Why aren't they letting certain people? There were all these things that are sort of. They imply, but they don't really explain. And I don't need to be spoon-fed, mm-hmm. but those were interesting. They could have made more of a meal out of some of those things mm-hmm. and built the tension more by telling us what's really going on.
And, you know, once you get past that gate, what, the soldiers can't follow you?
Yeah, well, they kind of were. That's why he goes and joined the Empire. Yeah. But, yeah, it was like, what's happening? Tell me what's happening. This is a whole world here that I kind of want to know about. And
I actually like wanted to see like him wash out of the Imperial Flight Academy. Like yes. like that was like, oh, we're just going to mention that. I'd like to actually see him try to fly a TIE fighter.
That's
what happened. And then what caused him to wash out?
And then I mean, that's. Let me ask you this, Kevin, because I we've talked about this a lot on the show. Like, I went in with like. I think this kid was miscast, so it was just hard for me to get on board from the beginning. Did you? Mm-hmm. What sort of preconceived notions did you have going into your first screening?
Yeah, not the second one.
Yeah. Well,
the unhot dog one.
The unhot dog, yeah.
The non-dog screening.
Let's go, yeah, let's go no dog here. I was sort of like, eh, either way with him.
Right.
But as I watched the movie the first time, I was like, I really like this guy. He felt like young Solo to me.
No, it's interesting. See, I had the opposite reaction.
But that's what I was talking about. Yeah. Like my friend who said the same thing when she saw it, as I said in the regular episode, she was like, oh, I thought the casting was great. So she was immediately on board, mm-hmm. which sounds like you were too,
yeah.
in your first screening of yes. like, oh, I buy him. And so I feel like that's a big point with this film. Like going in, you either buy this guy as young Solo or you don't.
Yeah, now here's what's, I think, missing. I think the fact that he is not necessarily... It wasn't that he was doing an impression of Harrison Ford. I just felt like he really embodied Harrison mm-hmm. Ford's, version of Han Solo. His version of Han Solo. Harrison Ford as Han Solo. I thought he did that really well. Beyond that, he wasn't necessarily that exciting to watch, and I don't know if that was his character. That was sort of just like, it's as if they decided it's enough that this guy sort of reminds us of Han Solo, and let's watch him be kind of cute and quirky throughout the movie and stuff, but there was nothing that interesting or compelling about him as a character in this version of the movie, whereas Han Solo... Going back to Mos Eisley, and you meet him for the first time, and he sits down in that thing, and Han Solo, Captain, I'm like, who the hell is this dude? What the
right? You're instantly engaged.
Yeah, you thought you were weirded out by the Wookiee, but now this guy yeah. with the vest just sat down, and holy shit, you know, and that
shirt's open.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it on the first episode. You know, the if this trivia point is true, that Ron Howard reshot more than 80% of the movie. Like, I'd like to see that first 80%. Like, what did it look like before?
Yeah.
Where was the character that different? Was the interactions that different? Where, you know, how, what were the main things that changed? Like, yeah. I know from what I've read, it was a lot of tonal things. Like, you know, Lord and Miller wanted to make it more of like kind of a more comedic vibe. And, you know, the producers were like, no, this still needs to be in Star Wars canon. It can be lighthearted and funny, but it's not going to be a comedy. It's we're going to hit all these Star Wars points and that's it. That's, you know, we're not going to, you can't stray off the Star Wars reservation for any of these movies.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't think they're wrong about that. I just wonder how comedic the movie was going to be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, was it going to be... Like, you could do that with Thor Ragnarok. Thor Ragnarok is essentially a comedy, and it's hilarious, and it's fun to watch because you can only watch that guy with his long hair slinging right. his hammer around, mm-hmm. speaking like a Shakespearean for so long without getting kind of bored. But I feel like with this, as a real hardcore comedy, it might not have... I don't know. It might have been weird or sort of...
Well, going back to Rogue One, none of us liked Rogue One because it was so funny.
Right. Rogue One was more a darker, grittier movie, for sure.
Yeah. And that's another thing I...
This movie was darker just because of the DP kept stopping it down.
Details with the Chris Mancini. But I heard it was a little bit less. It doesn't... Whatever. 70, 80... But he reshot a lot of the movie. But what I heard is that they were doing a lot of... They didn't get very far on this because they were retaking scenes over and over again. A lot of improv and a lot of...
So it's entirely possible that not a lot of this movie was actually shot.
I think that was the case. I think they were behind. And I think... I don't know. I like the work of Lord Miller, just like I like some of the work of Ron Howard. I'm just picking up and throwing out what I've read, but like I've heard certain actors say they kind of stepped in and really sort of saved the movie. Who really? I mean, we're never going to know,
right?
Yeah. There, I'm fascinated by shit like that and what happens and what's really going on. But yeah, I
Well, let's go into some of the
details.
The details. Like let's go to the ending.
Yes.
And sort of.
Han Solo doesn't die.
Spoiler alert.
Now let's talk about that ending, like towards the end. Like, you know, this whole movie was about fuel,
right?
And getting fuel, and you know, then the raiders or marauders are like, well, we're, you know, we kind of need this fuel to start a rebellion. I'm like, really? You know, that's all it takes to was fuel. That's how it's going to start. Now, what's interesting, we were talking about canon in the first episode. The entire show, Star Wars Rebels, that's on Disney, the animated show right now, goes into this very long and detailed explanation of how the Rebel Alliance is formed.
Mm.
And it doesn't, fuel's not really mentioned. So I think it's the kind of thing where it's like, is this canon? Is this canon? Is this part? But I really felt like, you know, some of the stuff was just so predictable. I'm like, yes, Woody Harrelson, of course he's going to double cross you.
Yeah.
And if, yeah, I get it. And
what did I always tell you, kid? Never
yeah,
trust.
Yeah, and then like, oh, yeah, I wonder if that's going to come back.
Massive
yeah.
foreshadowing when I said that. I was well aware.
So, and I'll tell you, I like Paul Bettany, but, you know, it's there's other actors in Hollywood. It's like, you know, Josh Brolin playing, you know, how many comic book movies are you going to be in? So yeah. I felt like the villain could have been more interesting, and also, again, this goes to the casting. Maybe cast somebody, you know, a little more, a little different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he already has Avengers. That's it's good.
He does the job, and I always like seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it could have been more adventurous with that. You know, I don't know. I didn't have a problem with him, but I also think the villain didn't have a major impact on
most
of the story.
Very two-dimensional and very like almost like, well, we got to put a villain in here somewhere.
He's bookending the thing.
Yeah,
and
A
bit.
Yeah, it was more about you know, hitting the Han Solo points than actually, you know, outwitting or outsmarting the villain.
And how about because our guest R.A. Stidham was on the regular episode. We couldn't talk about it because we don't do spoilers on the episode. But he was really mad at the Darth Maul thing at the end.
How did you feel about it? I was like, hey, what is this? Like, that was, I thought, at best, I thought it was interesting. But it really was like, why are you going to throw this in here? Because unless they have some shit that they're doing that the rest of us aren't thinking of, like he's going to suddenly, they're going to thread him, you know, he'll be in the next one.
Let me shed some light on the Darth Maul.
Please do.
It was a completely unnecessary Easter egg, for sure.
Yeah, they didn't either.
Now, as what was interesting, and I didn't notice this, Neil pointed this out when we were talking about it, is because he's only on screen for a couple of minutes, his bottom half is mechanical legs. Because if you remember, he gets sliced in half in one of the prequels, and he falls into a chasm. Both halves of him fall into a chasm.
Yes.
So you would think that would have finished him off, but apparently not. He comes back in the Clone Wars, the animated show. And then he comes back again in Star Wars Rebels, and then ultimately is killed by Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, like his story has already kind of been told.
Oh, in The Phantom Menace, he's killed. The Phantom Menace, it takes place after Star Wars Rebel, or he's killed again by Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He's killed he's killed again in Star Wars Rebels by Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think even on Tatooine.
Hey man, stay away from Obi-Wan.
Yeah. So
you can't beat him.
So it's this weird like all right, well we've already kind of resurrected him and killed him multiple times. Do we really need to see him again?
That's weird.
And only for like literally there was no purpose or reason for him to actually be in that scene, other than like, oh, there's Darth Maul.
I don't know why I'm not like, well, now I'm looking forward to seeing him in the next. Oh, right, no, this was a one-off.
Yeah, like, well, I guess maybe. Well, we got to get a Jedi in there somewhere.
But that's my kind of whole sort of issue with the film. And while it's cool, many of the there's so and so, we're cool moments, but I feel like you're saying, they were just put in there to like, oh, we should just put Darth Maul. There wasn't much like cohesive story arc and timeline universe strategy.
And also
the way Marvel is so good at like, we're not just putting a cameo or Easter egg in there just to get you like to jump out of your seat. It is very key
what also,
why it's here.
Yeah, what also is weird about like that that little cameo is, you know, the whole mythology of like the Sith Lords is that, well, they always appear in twos. So, you know, yeah, he's already working for, you know, the Emperor or whatever. But like, now, wait, now he's in charge? Like, what's...
Well, I think what I took away from that was that he's not with the Sith anymore, and he's just a dude running a... Running a
side scam?
Yeah, basically, he's like, well, look,
I got mechanical legs now. What am I going to do?
You know, like,
I lost my double-bladed lightsaber.
I couldn't get a gig at Starbucks, so yeah. I guess Crime Syndicate is
I'm just
the
trying
next
to
thing.
Stay away from Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to do.
He'll never find me out here in the desert.
Wait. Yeah.
You know, the thing is, they didn't need to do this because they had enough of that stuff that I thought was fun that they just had fleeting moments of. When... they're about to hijack the big train, and the what's her face is yelling at Woody Harrelson. What's the Tandy Newton Val is mm-hmm. is saying, why'd we get this clown? You know, this Solo guy. We could have called anybody. We could have called Bosk. And I was like, eh, Bosk. I know. Like that was fun. There's another moment where one of the guys from Forrest Whitaker's crew in Rogue One shows up towards the end of the... Mm-hmm. He's one of the Marauders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
There's another thing that happens where... I mean, they had enough of these... Oh, Lando, as they're landing on the mining colony, he goes, ah, landing colonies are the worst. Like, they did... Or right. Mining colonies, yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Mining colonies are the worst. And little things like that were enough, and I thought they were very fun mm-hmm. sort of references to the other right. movies. They didn't need to have this big sort of... weird thing that I points for going, yeah, you know, we can do that, that'll be fun. Like, that didn't bother me. It was just like, okay, you guys didn't need to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You,
right.
you were
right.
out the door.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. You were out the door. It was like someone going, wait, let me show you my stamp collection before, you know, like,
you're like,
I didn't
no, it was a fun
that.
Party, and yeah. then you made yeah. me stay an extra mm-hmm. 10 minutes to look at your stamp.
For this, for yeah. yes, I didn't care for that. I'll say this, too, about... I think he, you know, it was fun to watch young Solo running around doing that. It felt like a fun, light movie. That being said, it might have been more interesting to see a darker version of this guy. Or just they had all the...
I mean, the whole
makings.
Point is that he becomes a smuggler, and he's kind of a shifty, kind of shady character. So, you know, maybe show that as he's younger a
you
little
know,
bit
I,
more.
The thing that the mistake I think they made was... what got him to be so bitter? Still a good guy, right?
Yes.
And at the so he's a bitter. Luke's mad at him. Leia's mad at him in mm-hmm. A New Hope, right? They're mad. He's
right.
a fucking, hey, sorry, kid, go for the money.
Yeah.
Like, that's his
yeah.
whole thing. And then at the end, he's a good guy who does the right thing, right?
Yes. Right.
That's Han Solo. He's a good guy mm-hmm. who does the right thing. So they tried to do that, and I think they just did it incorrectly. Initially, I was like, oh, he's in this horrible slave colony. He's in love. We see him totally in love. And then she bails on him. She has to become...
I'll tell you, what a stroke of luck that he didn't have to get all that money and go back to the planet to get her. He just shows up in the crime boss's office.
Yeah, yeah. I know. That was great.
That's a time saver.
I didn't mind that. But to what you're saying, yeah, they did it backwards. You start with him being a good guy. His whole thing is, no, I'm really I'm an outlaw. No, you're one of the good guys. No, you start with him being a good guy, and you have him turn into this sort of ruthless smuggler, this bad guy, so that in Star Wars, when you meet him, he can go from this person. He learned the lesson that he learns in A New Hope in this movie. It's almost like now there's no need for his character in
right,
A New Hope.
Right, exactly.
That's
redundant.
Yeah.
Like,
they should have had him like, oh, he joins the army, right?
Yeah.
He should have been, oh, this is great. He's disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, like, I went to Iraq to defend freedom. And you come back and go, oh, it was a bullshit oil corporate war.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what it should have been versus, I want to join up because I'm a smuggler. Like, no. Like, he should have been like, I want to love this girl. I want to be a good, decent guy. And then I'm the end of the movie should him being like, psh, never mm-hmm. trust anybody.
Yeah, I mean, like,
Woodrow Harrison was right, you know?
like the betrayal, he apparently expected it, and it didn't seem to bother him.
Yeah.
So that, like, really, that wouldn't affect you at all? So
he spends his whole, well, he spends 3 years thinking about this girl, going after her. Mm-hmm. He finally gets her. He doesn't seem that bent out of shape that she's clearly with Paul Bettany, the worst dude.
Yeah.
He seems, well, I'm fine with it. And then he, like, it doesn't really seem to affect him that much. And then, yeah, she's out. And he's like, well, Chewie, I guess we'll go meet some guy named Jabba. Yeah. Off yeah. we go.
And then the girl you spent 3 years pining for has been yeah. sleeping with an evil dude. She's branded by him. And you're just sort of like, well. All
and right. guess what? She leaves inexplicably. Like, as the audience, we know. But there needed to be a moment when that ship pulls away from the beach where he's like, hey, what the? Just freaking out.
Yes.
You know, and we didn't get that. He just kind of went, yeah, there she goes. That's
something that, wow. like,
there goes
that,
my baby.
That yeah. bit, the bitterness yeah. of, like, I spent 3 years trying to find you. I find you. You sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bail on me. Oh, I guess I have to just be selfish.
That is a huge thing for his character if it's Kira who teaches him to be a bad person.
Right.
If he's upset that he's,
you know, maybe put in that scene and take Clint Howard out.
Oh, Clint.
If we're worried about runtime, you know, it's
speaking of editing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Now, again, I enjoyed it. I really did like this movie yeah. when I saw mm-hmm. it for the first time. And
it was empty fun. It was.
It was just like, woo, this is a rollicking good time. But it didn't feel connected to anything.
No.
In and a way that I would have liked. Yes.
It could totally
It really
could have
been.
The way Rogue One felt connected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rogue One, I think, had its flaws. You know.
Sure.
But I
that ending bothered me.
See, I liked the ending.
Well, which ending part are you talking about?
Well, I love watching Vader go all Vader.
That's fine. I liked that.
And it's a very fun, intense. I liked him handing it off to, you know, I liked Leia showing up and getting the thing.
What I didn't like is that, you know, the ship just drops down that she's on that has the plans. So you have basically the other ship getting attacked and they know the plans and Leia are on that ship.
Yeah.
And then, okay, well, they're right next to each other. Then in A New Hope, the Star Destroyer overtakes her,
mm-hmm.
and then now we're in New Hope. She's like, no, this is a diplomatic mission. I'm like, I just saw you leave from that other ship, you know, that we just fired on.
Look, okay, Star Wars is not without its... I mean, my brother and I used to talk about the fact that Chewie essentially knows the whole time that Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Right.
At some point, he has that information. Like, they all knew that guy. But there should have been a moment in Return of the Jedi when Luke finally reunites with all those folks again. Or whenever, yeah. There needed to be a moment like, hey, I need to talk to Chewie.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there just needed to be that moment where Luke was like, oh, so you just weren't going to say a damn thing the whole time?
thought it was none of my business?
We've been two movies. You could have said something. Send me a note. Yeah, so there are all those things. But, it was, for me, a movie like this that's fun to watch, I also enjoy stepping back and going, well, how would I have done it?
Right.
How would I have, quote unquote, fixed it? And so that's what this was, at least the second time for me. The hot dog,
the
version,
hot dog time.
Like, okay, wait a minute now. I loved watching what's his face as Lando, Donald Glover. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a lot of fun.
The poker scenes, the him.
Of course he would cheat at poker.
Of course he cheated. Yeah. It was so great. And he has a thing that helps him cheat. And he's mm-hmm. so sweet talking the ladies. It was great.
But, you know, I think Han Solo's relationships with Lando and with Chewbacca, I expected more to be made out of some, to lay a little bit more groundwork. It all happened, it's weird, like, to hear him talk about, you feel like he has this history with this guy, Lando Calrissian, when we meet him in Empire. And it really just felt like, oh, they met this one time, he got the ship from him, and that's the end until he sees him in Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
That's what I was sort of left with, and I didn't like that. I would have liked knowing that these guys kind of go off and do things to get, you know, there was more of that. I also, you know,
it feels like there was, like there would be more history there.
Feels like there could have been.
That's what that's what happened in Empire. That's the relationship that they allude to. Mm-hmm. Is that wow? These guys got some kind of history. The Millennium Falcon was in a card game. There's a lot more. And this movie Solo was just sort of like, oh, they had a couple of card games. It wasn't. It didn't fill in enough of the gaps for me.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And I wanted more of that. In and of itself, it was fine.
Right.
But going into it knowing this stuff, you're like, wait, no, where's the history? Yeah. I know he worked with this guy again. I know there's a reason why he doesn't trust him.
Right.
There's a real reason why he doesn't trust him. And it ain't because he took off, his ship left them when they were on the you know, on that planet. Because Lando was in the right to take the fuck off. Like,
Didn't Han still owe him a ship?
Han destroyed his ship. He basically, they were all about to be ambushed. In fact, they were being ambushed. And Lando just said, the hell with it, I'm out. Like, he had a legitimate reason to take off. So there's no, we don't get to see a real legitimate reason for Han to go, yeah, I don't trust this Lando guy in Empire. We never, and I kind of wanted to see more of that. And
Wanted to see more of their, like, becoming close and then him feeling a little like he can't trust him.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, it was too surface, their whole relationship. It wasn't enough for him to feel betrayed.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't enough, like, oh, hey, we were compadres. I thought we had each other's backs.
Yeah.
There just wasn't enough.
I wanted to see him get to do what Woody Harrelson's character got to do.
Well, that's a great
more
point.
Believable.
Yeah. I like that Woody Harrelson's character is Han Solo's mentor, more or less.
Well, you also have this whole dynamic of, like, is there honor among thieves? And, you know, you see it with Woody Harrelson and Han Solo's character more. But, like you guys said, I wanted to see it more with Han and Lando. Like, you know, these guys are both scoundrels.
Yeah.
Like, how do they relate to each other? Do they completely ever trust each other? Is there some kind of bond there, but they still don't trust each other fully? Like, that's a more complicated, interesting relationship.
They did a better job with him and Chewie. I was like,
they met,
they were both prisoners. Chewie was going to kill him. And it was like, oh, guys that are locked up together that then save each other's asses. Like, I was like, oh, that you planted enough seeds for me to go, oh, that's why these two are inseparable.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas, I understand you have to do that because it's Han and Chewie. They're you know, they're a team.
It's never explained how he learned to speak Wookiee though.
Right.
I was fine. I mean, that's that almost felt too. That was almost too much for me. Like, oh, I don't know if I like him making these sounds, but like. All right, movie, have your fun. I was all right with it. I felt like they could have made more of a meal about his rescuing Chewie. It almost felt weird. Like, by itself, I kind of like that introduction. I like throw him in there with the beast. The beast, you know, when he gets in there and there's something coming out. I part of me thought it was going to be like the Rancor again. I wonder if they're going to pull that guy out. And then I was like, oh, right. Chewbacca, and that was a fun scene, but again, the hot dog version of this, I'm going, this feels like Chewbacca could have gotten out of there all by himself. Like,
yeah,
Chewie's not dumb,
and he's really strong.
Yeah, and he's really strong. He didn't need Han Solo to tell him, "Hey, bust this pole, and the whole thing will come crashing."
Right,
down. Like that seemed that seemed slightly flimsy, and I know I'm nitpicking, but. It was like, it didn't take Han Solo to get him out of that situation. And that's a very important part of their relationship is this whole life debt thing, right. Which doesn't come up really in the movie. And I thought I would see
life
that.
But Day does.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Thank you for... but there is a moment where Chewie and the other Wookiee sort of like touch heads, and it did remind me of the holiday special. Yeah. I was like, is that a thing that happened? Like, I thought B. Arthur was going to come running out.
Like, and Harvey Korman was going to cook something.
But I thought there would be more to, because it was kind of cool that you see other Wookiees being enslaved on this mining colony and they help free them. And they could have really done something with that and like, instead of this fleeting moment where the one Wookiee is going, Chewie, you coming? And Chewie's like, I gotta go make this money, son. Peace. And he's out. You know, I would have liked to see him more kind of, but you know.
Whatever. Do you guys think there's a little bit of Star Wars fatigue now? Because, you know, we've had a movie every year. However, this is the first time we've had them 6 months, like literally less than, because we had the last one in December. Yeah. Like, normally we get them all in December, but this one came a little earlier.
I think they are running into that a little bit because they can't do the same model as Marvel, because each in the Marvel universe,
you've got thousands of characters.
Well, thousands of characters, and each one of these superheroes have been fully flushed out and developed in the comic book world
for many years,
for decades. Mm-hmm. And so you can take this character's completely unique world, like we talked about, like Black Panther, nothing else like it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Connected, but nothing else like it. Yeah. Whereas Star Wars is a very similar.
They all look the same.
Star Wars is a smaller universe than the Marvel universe, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that was the fun of watching, the Infinity War.
Right.
Which I so love listening to you guys and Aisha talk about that movie. I wanted to jump through my phone.
Like, yeah, I had things to say too.
But it was really fun to watch all the way they connected it, and everything sort of felt different, but they managed to keep it this. I mean, the best example of that is, I forget what scene it starts with, but suddenly you hear this sort of like 70s funk music, and you're like, why are they playing that? What's happening? And then we're in space and we're hearing it, and like, why? Oh, right, here come the Guardian. Yeah. It was just kind of, they did that all through the movie, and it was very fun. And Star Wars, it all lines up. It all really looks the same and feels the same.
Yes.
And so it's hard to. The other thing that I was reading is that the marketing department really fell down on the job with this. And that's what all the analysts are saying, is that they didn't sort of put this guy Alden out there as the lead and really push him earlier in the game like they should have. Mm-hmm. And they just...
It's very rare Disney does a marketing misstep.
They all feel like this is... They dropped the ball on this one. Mm. And, you know, I don't... And also, it's a tall order to go, we're going to take this iconic character that you love and we're going to do the new version. Or the... We're going to throw it.
It's hard, man. It's literally like,
well, you know,
showing a young Sean Connery Bond. You know what I mean? You're taking some type of character that's like, and an actor, and this is what I said in the regular episode, Harrison Ford is a tall.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got scars on his face. He looks like he's been in fights. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's who Han Solo was. The first introduction of Han Solo was like...
We talked about this before, where is this what really, as Star Wars fans, we want to see? Do we want to see younger versions of these characters that we know and love?
No, I don't want to see a Boba Fett movie. I mean, I'll be there, hot dog in hand. But I don't necessarily want to see... I don't need to see that.
How about new characters and new stories? I mean, I know we're getting there, but, you know,
that was cool. That's what was cool about Rogue One.
I know. I was just going to say that. That was so, it was like, I haven't met any of these people. There are these, I mean, in the trailer, I was like,
Except for the computer generated ones.
Yeah. But I was like, when I saw Donnie Yen, I was like, a blind Jedi. Mm-hmm. So he's doing Zatoichi. Yeah. Doing it.
The Star Wars version.
The Star Wars Zatoichi. I said, do this.
Yeah.
But then when I saw the trailer for this, I was like, this Alden kid, I don't buy him as a young Han Solo.
The first trailer, I was excited. The second trailer, I was like, this doesn't, there's some.
Were you eating a hot dog?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, my daughter said something interesting too. She, you know, she's 13 and she said, well, I don't care as much about this movie because I already know Han Solo dies later. So, you know, there's also part of that where you kind of know the end of the story already.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm like, well, do we need to go back and see the prequel? There's not as much interest in there as like a continuing story of these characters.
I agree. I hope they go more in that direction of like continuation of characters or smaller characters we introduced. Let's expand on them.
Yeah, just take some things that they brought up in the old movies that we might have questions about and go with. Right. And granted, the history of Han Solo is a very interesting story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The history of Boba Fett, not so much. Yeah. The thing we like about Boba Fett is this: he's this mysterious guy who just shows up or whatever. I don't want to see the guy who is, you know...
How he gets his helmet.
Yeah, like, I don't care.
How he gets his, you know, slave one.
I don't
know,
need
the
to
ship.
See any of that. Oh, I just worked at, you know, the how supermarket
for
years.
Yeah, how does he become a bounty hunter?
Don't need to see that. Just... I just like that guy shows up and does his thing.
Mm-hmm. One of the great the things that was in some of the books is like after Jedi, some of the books that were written after Jedi, I forget the names, but like they talked about one of the things that happened now that the galaxy's united, then there was like political fights and battles within that. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something in there.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And with Luke and Leia's kids, or you know what I mean? Like there's that type of...
I think they're trying to go in that sort of direction with this new trilogy that I think it's Rian Johnson who's working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can watch these movies all day. I love Star Wars and
going.
I'm so entertained by
they're
these movies.
They're still going to get our money.
But I, the more... I can't turn off my writer... you know, or filmmaker or actor brain at all. And I'm like, well, maybe I would have done something different here. Or, you know, as much as I love this movie, in my mind, I'm like, I would have liked to see something different than what they, you know. So now there were also fun little things like the, Indiana Jones Golden Idol.
Thing.
And I was like, oh, look at that. They were the and little crap like that. But I loved the, I like the thing with the Marauders. I thought they were very cool, but I could have used more of them throughout the movie.
There you go. That's the movie I want to see.
Yeah.
How did the Rebel Alliance actually get formed?
Well, that's Star Wars Rebels is pretty much the show.
Yeah.
That
right.
Unpacks that in over three seasons. So it's. You know, is there a version of that? Like, because like in Rogue One, one of the ships from Star Wars Rebels isn't during the attack. So I think that's a really interesting story. And I think there's more stories there. Like with Star Wars Rebels, it ended. It only followed a small number of characters. But there's with the formation of the Rebel Alliance, there's, I'm sure, many stories that could be told.
Right.
There.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
that don't involve fuel.
Yeah. I like the fuel thing because it's such a base gritty type of thing. It's just like we all need gas,
right?
And I kind of like that. But there's something about a guy, this character, this Han Solo character, and putting him out there, where at every step of the way he's pursued, or these marauders are getting in the way. Where they're almost foiling, or they are foiling all his plan. There was enough, I think, to space to give them where they show up. They're after the same thing. It's kind of fun to watch this guy competing against these other people who are trying to get the same thing from him and foiling him at every other turn or whatever. Like, I think that would have been more interesting than
I think that train was carrying a lot of fuel. I think everyone could have gotten some.
They all could have gotten some fuel. Yes. Yeah, what was their plan? I guess they thought... They got wind of Solo's or Woody Harrelson's plan, and I don't know what that seemed ill-advised. Also, I'll tell you a huge problem I had with this. Other than the hot dog, what I realized is my friend pointed out. She said, "Well, they had Tandy Newton, and they had this one woman of color." And classically, they kill her. She's the first one to go. And I'm like, yeah, I noticed that too. And then I watched it the second time. I was like, I don't care about that because his whole crew got killed.
Right.
Right.
But what bothered me is imagine you're watching Ocean's 11. Try to imagine any of those characters. Brad Pitt.
Matt Damon.
Damon. Any of those guys. Something's going to go wrong with the heist. So they kill themselves to sacrifice. It's a heist. It's not a war.
Right.
They're just going to lose. It's your money or your life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it was a weird thing. When I watched it the second time, I was like, so because they can't pull off this thing, she's going to blow the train. She could have just not blown the train.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't. I'm pinned down. I can't do anything. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We'll make it back on the next job.
Yeah, but she just said, "Screw this. If we can't, I gotta." That was a weird thing that I didn't totally believe.
Yeah, there was just enough of those little things in there that I kind of went, all right. And then something cool would happen, and the action was decent, and I liked. Yeah, I wasn't mad, but there was all these little things that I kind of went, eh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? And that was a fun sequence.
Yes.
I really enjoyed, you know, I liked the marauders showing up and wreaking havoc on the train and all that stuff. I liked all of that stuff. I liked that she pulls that helmet off and reveals, hey, it's friendly.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I did like that at the end.
Young Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, but I'm right. But I would have liked to then see her and her people get to do more than just a really quick 1-2 punch.
That
at the
was
end.
My right. thing too. They introduced this really cool storyline.
Yeah, and they introduced these characters. I'm like, oh, this is interesting.
Oh, cool.
Now,
yes.
Oh, but now we're done.
We're done.
We're done. We're out of runtime.
Also, how in the world does she pull that helmet off? And it does not change the plot of the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it's not suddenly a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
How is Woody Harrelson not like, oh, I'm sorry, take our gasoline? Like, I would have, because I remember looking at that like, oh my God, sure, take the fuel, whatever. Yeah. Give her the fuel, give her the damn fuel. Like, I just.
She needs it.
Yeah.
That could be the whole marauders thing. Are adorable.
Yes.
But I mean, that was such an interesting character. I love that she pulls the mask off and just
they
goes,
should have all,
I need a drink.
They should have all taken their masks off and it's all hot women underneath.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's how you get into
weird,
the Marauders.
Like, oh, yeah. When did this become a Michael Bay film?
Yeah.
Like, the Marauders aren't hot enough. We need more. Okay, calm down. But no, I just thought it was... that was a great casting choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could have...
That was
pulled that helmet off and it would
underutilized.
It could have just been some very straight down the line attractive woman. Surprise, you know, movies love to do that. Surprise, I'm really hot. But her looks aside, she was just very interesting looking.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then she gave an interesting performance. We only got to see like 2 minutes of it, and I wanted to see more of what this character and these other people
were
all about.
The helmet coming off should have been the beginning of that character, not the final wrap-up.
Exactly, yeah. And I missed missed... Well, you got Darth Maul instead.
Yeah, with mechanical legs.
Yeah. Yes. I didn't notice his legs were... And I was looking for... I was like, well... Where do they? Is there scotch tape around his center? Like, where are they? Yeah, you know. So,
all right.
All right.
Else?
I think we've covered a lot of Solo ground.
I did love it.
Yeah.
I did really enjoy this movie. I'll say I really liked it. I would give it 4 stars out of 5 if we were doing that type of thing.
Really?
On the first viewing.
The first viewing. The second viewing, look, I was tired. I don't get enough sleep, guys.
Going down to 2 to 3, maybe?
Second viewing, I gave it 3 stars.
Mm. So a hot dog really takes away a full star.
It takes away a full star because I was just watching this like, why are we doing this? Why are we? I could have gotten up and left. Like, I was having
you knew
that
what happened.
Type of a day. Mm-hmm. I knew what happened. I was like, I could leave.
And I feel like if you were to see Infinity Wars or Deadpool again or Black Panther, the movies would improve.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I liked Infinity War better the second time. I saw it 3 times. And there was always... I was like, okay, give me just the thing where this happens. Okay, I can't wait to see when this... And that was not there for me. It's fun to watch him fly around on the Falcon and do all that stuff, but... I've seen enough of I did it.
I left there going, I don't want to see this again. Yeah. I left Infinity War going, God, I got to see this again.
Right?
Yeah. I know I missed. Yeah. I know when I see it again, I'm going to go, oh, there was that thing I missed. Right. There was this thing I missed. I go, I got to see Deadpool again because there's going to be a bunch of jokes in the corner of the frame that I just missed because I was already I was already doubled over laughing from the joke that he just said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I knew, and I was like, I got to see Black Panther again because there's just going to be more like, oh, fucking cool. Or there's that thing. And this I went,
I'm done.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Yep. Yep. She took her helmet off. I got it.
I like it. I feel like I don't want to bash the movie, but I just noticed some of
what I thought were flaws, I will say. But I liked it. I'll buy it when it comes out on digital.
All right.
That's it, that's guys. It.
Kevin Avery, where can people find you online?
At Kevin Avery on Twitter and at Kevin Avery Comedy on Instagram. And I think that's it. Those are all the things.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can also see Kevin Avery on the First Nation Comedy Experience.
That's right.
If you get FNX, if you're not sure if it's carried by your local PBS channel, go to fnx.org and you can see where it's listed. If it's not carried, email or call your local PBS channel.
Demand it.
And say, why aren't you putting on more Native American programming? If they say, well, there's not enough Natives in this area, say, who cares? I want to watch comedy.
There were.
And there were. There used to be a lot more. Used to be a whole lot more. And I'd like to learn about their culture.
It's a fun show, man. I got to, you know, I didn't get to see everybody when I was doing it. And just watching those snippets of people, just those one, I mean, it was fucking great, man. Check out that show.
Yeah. And like I said, I submitted episode 2, The Ladies of Native Comedy, for to get an Emmy nomination. So if you know any Academy members at the TV Arts place, let them know. Share it, spread it, because that episode and episode 1 are the only two episodes that are available online. So go to fnx.org or go to the First Nation Experience Facebook page. Under video section, you can see those. And the Ladies of Native Comedy is episode 2. It's all Native women doing stand-up comedy. It's never been done before on TV, and I submitted that to win an Emmy. So
there you go.
Help us out for your consideration.
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Wait, can I point out one more thing? I'm sorry. I just don't. Just really quickly, I thought of you guys when I watched this movie, because we did get to see Han shoot first.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I literally, you two popped in my head.
Here we go. That's how it's
all right, hand me my hot dog. And
yeah.
You know, so. Anyway, that's all I've said.
There goes the star.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad we were in your
all mind. Right. Solo spoiler in the can.
Comedy tour, June 20 through the 24th, through the southeast part of the country. Go to grahamelwood.com, buy some tickets, and... watch my political rantings on my YouTube show, Political Vigilante. Check it out.
All right.
That's it?
Else? Yeah.
Kevin Avery, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to mention, check out the store in the Comedy Film Nerd store. We've got all the Thrilling Adventure Hour stuff. We've got Crab Feast t-shirts. And, of course, we now have Make Gotham Great Again shirts. And if you haven't checked out Earbuds yet, we've got it for digital download or a signed DVD. So check that out.
Yep.
Can I plug something really quick?
Of course.
Sure.
The Jim Jefferies Show, we're back on. We should be on by the time, whenever this comes, I don't know. We'll be on. Jim Jefferies on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. And also The New Negroes. Look for that in the fall on Comedy Central. I appear in a couple episodes.
Ooh.
As a matter of fact, I do stand up in one, and I appear in a little video with Method Man.
What is that show?
Oh, cool.
It's primarily a stand-up show hosted by Baron Vaughn and Open Mike Eagle, and they do commentary in between the comics and stuff like that. And then Mike is a rapper, so there's a music video element to it, and he does songs with guest artists as well. And so it's a lot of fun. And I worked on the show and then appeared on it. So check it out. Look for that in the fall, The New Negroes. And that's it.
Awesome.
All right. Very cool.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Aaron Brungard, on the ones and twos, and everybody here at the All Things Comedy World Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.